for a short time this evening, I decided on the open topic to speak on the book of Ruth. Our reading will come from Ruth chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 1 through 22. And for a short time, we're going to be discussing the importance of choices. The choices we make for ourselves and the choices that we make and how they may affect other people. But for our reading, we'll read verses 1 through 22. Here the Bible reads, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the women survived her two sons and her husband. Naomi returned with Ruth. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went up on the way to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband.' So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept, and they said to her, 'Surely we will return with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against you.' Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, 'Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.' But Ruth said, 'Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me.' When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the woman said, 'Is this Naomi?' But she said to them, 'Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?' So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest." So for this evening, we're going to kind of talk about this and maybe see what we can possibly glean from it. And the book of Ruth is, in a way, a beautiful, kind of a beautiful interlude of love. And it's set in a period, as it mentions in verse 1, a period when judges ruled over Israel. And it's an era marked by immorality, idolatry, and war. And Judges 21, verse 25 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." In the book of Ruth, it tells a heartwarming story of devotion and faithfulness concerning a Moabite widow, Ruth, who leaves her homeland. And it goes on, as we read, to discuss and to live with her Jewish mother-in-law, Naomi, in the land of Israel. God honors Ruth's commitment by guiding her to the field of Boaz, a near kinsman of Naomi, where she gathers grain and finds a place in the genealogy of Christ. And it has been said the book serves two purposes. One purpose could be considered that it illustrates how God rewards those who make wise spiritual choices and show steadfast loyalty. Also, to explain how Ruth, the Moabitess, came to be an ancestor of David and ultimately our Savior Christ Jesus. Let's also consider the faithful journey in Moab. The journey was necessary due to famine. The setting, found in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, as it was mentioned before, is in the days of the judges. This is prior to the period of the kings of Israel. And there is famine in the land of Judah. It says a family of four leave Bethlehem to dwell in Moab. Of course, the family includes Naomi, the widow of Elimelech, the mother of Mahlon and Chilion, and the two sons' wives, from Moab, Orpah and Ruth. Now they travel to Bethlehem, of course, as we know, is a city located 5 miles of Jerusalem, the birthplace of David and also Christ Jesus. And as they leave, they head towards Moab, a country located due east of the Dead Sea. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 19 through 37, it mentions the descendants of Lot, which is referenced. Sometimes they were enemies, sometimes friends of Israel, as mentioned in Judges chapter 3, verses 12 through 30. Now, the story of Ruth in the first chapter, death strikes three times. Of course, Elimelech dies, as mentioned in verse 3, leaving Naomi a widow with two sons. Now, rabbinic tradition suggests that his death was punishment for greed or having forsaken his homeland, as some commentaries may mention. Mahlon and Chilion marry women of Moab, mentioned in verse 4. Of course, Mahlon married Ruth and Chilion married Orpah. Such marriages with women of Moab were strongly suspect, if not considered wrong, in their culture at this time. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3 reads, "An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever." Also in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, here the Bible says, "But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, 'You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods.' Solomon clung to these in love." And lastly, in Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 through 27, it says, "In those days I also saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, and half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod and could not speak the language of Judah, but spoke according to the language of one or the other people. So I contended with them and cursed them, struck some of them and pulled out their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, 'You shall not give your daughters as wives to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons or yourselves.' Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was no king like him, who was beloved of his God. And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused even him to sin. Should we then hear of your doing all this great evil, transgressing against our God by marrying pagan women?" So this kind of gives us an idea of what exactly it meant for these young men to take these young ladies as wives. In their culture, it was frowned upon, to say the least. Now, it said that they lived in Moab about 10 years, and Mahlon and Chilion died, as mentioned in verse 5. Now, rabbinic tradition suggests, or they were people are led to believe that is because leaving Judah and their marriages. Leaving Naomi widow and childless, which she took as a divine judgment against her, as mentioned in verse 13. Baxter is quoted saying that Elimelech and his sons went to Moab to find bread, but instead they found graves. Bereaved of her husband and two sons, Naomi gives thought to return to her homeland. And this is also what we need to consider. We need to consider the faithful return to Judah. Naomi chooses to return home. Beginning with verse 6, we find that the famine in Judah had ended. The Lord's blessings had returned to Judah, and the Lord had given them bread. Naomi encouraged her daughters-in-law to remain in Moab, as mentioned in verses 7 through 9. And as they were on their way to leave, Naomi encourages them to return to their mother's house, and Naomi prays God's blessings upon them. Says to treat them kindly because of their kindness to her, and she wishes to find that they find rest in the homes of future husbands. And of course, this prompted or initiated sorrowful displays of great affection. Another choice that we need to consider, and the main choice that we want to consider this evening, is Ruth's choice to return with her. As mentioned in verse 10, at first both daughters-in-law desired to go with Naomi, and they were willing to return with her to her people, which speaks highly of their love for Naomi and duty as daughters-in-law. Naomi seeks to dissuade them, however, as mentioned in verse 11 through 13. She tells them that she has no sons to offer them, and she is too old to have a husband, and even if she did marry, and if she were able to have sons, she asked them, would they wait until they were old enough to marry? I sometimes think that as we read this, we kind of quickly rush or skim past exactly what's going on here, and maybe the amount of emotion that is being portrayed here. It grieved and pained her to see them suffer because of what she knew was God's chastisement of her. But Ruth cannot be dissuaded. In verses 14 through 18, it says, weeping, Orpah kisses her mother-in-law and leaves. But Ruth clings to her mother-in-law, and Naomi tries once again to persuade her to return. This was Ruth's noble choice. Ruth told her, and made the choice that to go wherever Naomi goes, to live wherever Naomi lives, to make the people of Naomi her people, to make the God of Naomi her God, to die and be buried where Naomi is buried, and to let nothing but death come between them. In making such a choice, Ruth has become a proselyte to Judaism in a way, or meaning that she has been, in a sense, converted from one opinion, religion, or party to another. Naomi realizes Ruth is determined to go with her, and there, at this point, is nothing that she could say to change her mind. And let's consider when Naomi and Ruth arrive at Bethlehem. In verse 19, their arrival sparks excitement in the city. And in verses 20 through 21, Naomi mentions that she should be called Mara. She says that she should no longer be called Naomi, which means pleasant, but Mara, which means bitter. For she feels the Lord has dealt bitterly with her. The Bible says she left Judah full and returned empty. She believes the Lord testified against her and has afflicted her. And this may be true. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through 19 says, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall be you shall, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall be you when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Now with this in mind, we still need to realize and acknowledge not all suffering is indicative of divine chastisement. She may have been the innocent victim of other sins. The decisions we make and the decisions that others make often create a ripple effect. We may not realize it, and those effects may be very minor, but in some other cases they may not be. A decision that we make may not affect us immediately, but it could have drastic effects on others that are close to us. We may not see any negative impact personally, but it could negatively impact others that we may care about. Elimelech made a choice. His sons made a choice. And they died. Them dying, I would say, had a big effect on Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. Naomi and Ruth settled in Bethlehem, as mentioned in chapter 22. Naomi, a woman without a husband and sons, and Ruth, the Moabitess, living in a strange land. In conclusion this evening, their arrival was at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now this sets a stage for the events in the next chapter, and which gives a sign of a new beginning in the lives of Naomi and Ruth. The story of Ruth certainly illustrates the importance in making choices. And hopefully there's something that we can glean from it in the choices and help us in the choices that we make. Choices come with consequences, sometimes good, sometimes bad. Elimelech and his sons made choices, which may have appeared to be good business decisions, but ultimately left a wife and a mother a widow, and motherless in a strange land. Ruth made a choice to leave family and false religion for the true God and His family, one that would have provided both temporal and eternal blessings. Mark chapter 10, verses 29 through 30 says, "So Jesus answered and said, Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life." Sometimes the choice is not between right or wrong, but between good and better. Yet any choice we make will be the right one if made with these words of Jesus in mind. Matthew 6, verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Ruth's noble choice to follow Naomi and her God illustrates the truth of Jesus' words. At this time, we want to offer an invitation to any of those are subject to the gospel call, or for any of those who wish to receive the prayers of the church, whatever the case may be, please come forward as we stand and sing.